in Psalm 92, verse 10, two very short portions of Scripture for my text. Thank you, musicians. Again, if you did make it to our district conference, I trust you were encouraged and uplifted. I know my spirit was soaring, if you will. Amen. It just encourages me to see what God is doing in our midst. Amen. Our Connecticut district this year celebrated our Jubilee year. So the Connecticut district of the United Pentecostal Church has been in Connecticut for 50 years now. So praise the Lord.
Thank God for that.
Praise the Lord. Well, I wasn't here 50 years ago. Amen. But I was serving the Lord 50 years ago. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my God. Job 29, reading verse 20. My glory was fresh in me. Someone say fresh in me. And my bow was renewed in my hand. In Psalm 92, verse 10. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Someone say fresh oil.
Fresh oil.
Amen. I pray that there would be a freshness. Amen. Somebody here needs a fresh start.
That's right.
Amen. And there are people here that I know, that you know, like I know, that God is good. Amen. Amen. My title is this, A Good God and a Fresh Start. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We, Lord, even ask right now, Lord, that you would do according to your purpose. Lord, would you somehow convey a portion of what you've given to me unto this people today? Lord, anoint my words that I could try to express just how good you are. The good God that is above all things. And Lord, that we can have a fresh start, Lord. That your will be done in our lives. And Lord, we ask in the precious name of Jesus for your purpose to be accomplished today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God is better to me than I have ever been to myself. Amen. You know, if we were just living our own way and doing our own thing, and it's almost for sure we wind up in the ditch. Amen. We go astray. We leave the path. We can't hold it between the lines. There's something about human mistakes is that everybody human makes them. Praise the Lord. But I'm so glad that I serve a very good God. Amen. So many people, most people, I would say, even some Christian leaders, present God as cruel or vengeful or ruthless. But no, I know God is merciful and bountiful and glorious. Amen. Praise God. He is, sometimes, some people would present God as one who takes pleasure in pronouncing judgment. Oh, God will get you for that. Well, there may be some truth. When you're living in sin, eventually that sin is going to catch up to you. Amen. And yes, there is a judgment day, but that's not what I'm referring to right now. I believe that there is a God that, yes, he's the righteous judge, but yes, he's my keeper. He's my provider. He's my healer. Amen. I can look to God for every single thing that I have need of. Amen. God does things for me that I didn't even know that I needed. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, in our worship service on Friday night, it was spectacular, I would say, and I've made a habit to worship God. It's just my my desire. I want to worship God. And when I get into a place where there's a multitude of people that are worshiping the Lord, there's just something about it that just encourages me to love the Lord and thank God for just how good He is. Amen. I tell you that my God is a good God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there's people under the sound of my voice that you know that God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nobody knows like I know how good God has been to me. And you point your finger at your own self and say that? God's been good to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, this isn't in my notes, but I gotta say it out loud. I got just a little short little testimony here. You know, I never went to seminary. I never went to Bible college. My mom and my dad, they were not preachers. There was no preachers that I know of in my family other than me. But I've got a history where my grandmother was born on the Indian reservation, spoke native Algonquin Ojibwe as her primary language at home and everywhere else. My mom spoke native Ojibwe language as a small child and had to learn it, or learn English in going to school. And so I've got a Native American background. And both my grandmom and my mom were baptized in Jesus' name, received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they attended a United Pentecostal church before I was ever born. Amen. So all my life, I've known the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. Now, there was a small space of time, maybe a year or two, where they went to an Assembly of God church and then back to the Pentecostal church. I was very, very young. I don't remember that very much. I think I do remember faintly in my mind way back there attending that a time or two. But I've known the United Pentecostal Church all my life. Amen. That doesn't mean that I was doing what I should do all my life. There was a period of late teens and early 20s I was messed up. You know, I tried to go my own way and fell off the cliff and went to the deep end and just things were going bad wrong. But my high school sweetheart, who is my wife today, we found out that God is good. Praise the Lord. God has been better to me than I have been to myself. Amen. I made a lot of bad mistakes when I was in the world. But God forgave me of that. Amen. God changed me from that. Amen. I'm convinced if I would have continued in that way of life, I would at this time possibly be dead or in prison or some other catastrophic failure in my life. I look at those that were around me, even in my own family, and without God, it's catastrophe. And then I look at my life, and I know I'm blessed. Amen. Not because of how good I am, not because of what I know, but because of how good God is and what He let me know. Amen. That's the only reason I live this good life today, is because God It's been good to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me go back to Scripture. There are four things about God that the devil does not want you to know. He's trying to cloud your mind. He's trying to keep you from understanding. The devil wants to just fill your day with stuff. The smartphone will not make you smart. In fact, the smartphone will make you dumb. If you let it. It won't make you, but if you let it, it'll take over every second of your time. If you let it. It'll make you dumb, not smart.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
It's one of the tools that I believe Satan is using today to cloud the minds of people in our society. Amen. Four things that about God that the devil does not want you to know. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse number 9. Number one, the first thing is, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. Amen. Every promise in the Word of God, I can put my finger on the page and I can read it out loud and I can claim that God said this in His Word and I believe it's true for me. Amen. I can claim the promises in the Word of God. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. That's number two. God is long-suffering. You may have made a mistake. You may have went off the cliff. You may have done wrong things. Maybe you don't think the right way. But God is long-suffering. He wants to draw you to Him. God wants to bring you back. God wants to bless your life. Amen. It's long-suffering to usward. That was number two. Number three, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want to send anybody. Not one person is it God's will for them to be burning in a lake of fire. Amen. It's God's will that you would be with Him. It's God's will that He would bless your life. It's God's will that you would make it to heaven. That, my friend, is God's will. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number four of this one verse. But that all should come to repentance. Amen. Everybody needs to get right with God. You might think, well, I'm not so bad. I didn't kill anybody. You know, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, without Jesus Christ, we are lost and undone. Amen. We are not good on our own. We're good because God is good. Amen. When we get God, we get good from God. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The opportunity to repent, it is, I believe, the greatest of all of God's mercies. God has been very merciful to me. Amen. God's been merciful to you. God is merciful right now. Amen. And that, someone say opportunity. God gives us opportunity to repent. God is not going to force you to repent. You will repent of your own free will, or you will not repent. If it was within my power to make people repent, man, I'd do it. I'd do it. But it's not in my power. And it wouldn't do any good. It's a really bad idea. Because God's ways are higher than my ways. Amen. It's God's will that you would come to Him of your own free will. Amen. That you realize that carnal ways are not good ways. That God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. Forgiveness. Let me just talk about forgiveness right now. Forgiveness is better than blessing. Amen. Now, I believe, probably the most blessed person I have ever met in my whole life. I don't know of anybody else that has a more blessed life than I do. Amen. I've got... Maybe there are other people that disagree with me. Okay. Maybe there's other people that think that your life is as blessed or more blessed than mine. But in my own mind, in my own heart, amen, I choose to believe that God is good. Amen. I have seen His blessings on my life. Amen. Blessing, forgiveness, is better than blessing. Amen. Now, it's coming from a man that believes he is the most blessed man that he has ever met. I believe I am blessed. I'm blessed by Jesus Christ. I'm blessed in my home. I'm blessed in my family. I'm blessed on my work. I'm blessed in the church. I'm blessed in my life. I'm blessed in my body. I'm blessed in my mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those are all big things. They're big things. But forgiveness is better than blessing. Amen. Forgiveness is better than a physical miracle. Now, I have been physically healed by miracles. Amen. I had a slipped disc in my back, and my back hurt so bad. It was like absolutely awful, terrible. And God healed me in a moment. While I was worshiping God, my back is good. I don't hurt anymore. God healed me in a moment when the doctors couldn't do anything about it. Amen. I was diagnosed with advanced heart failure. I had a heart that was working at a 12% rate, and it's supposed to be between 50 and 65%. And so it was like really, really bad. But God healed my heart. You know, the muscle that pumps your blood. God healed me. Amen. The doctors were amazed. Wow, he went from 12% to 53%? Praise the Lord. You know, I've counted it as a miracle. You know, the above 50% range, that's the heart efficiency of an athlete. And in case you haven't noticed, I'm not an athlete. I didn't do that. God did. I am blessed in my physical body. God has healed me over and over again. God has healed me many times. Amen. But forgiveness is better than healing. Amen. Forgiveness is better than material blessings. Amen. God supplies everything I need. God has given me everything I have. Amen. I'm blessed. Amen. But it's not in the material things. It's not because I drive a vehicle or live in a house or have a few dollars in my pocket. You know, those are blessings, and that's great. It's wonderful, and God gave me all those things. But forgiveness is greater than material blessing. Amen. Greater than financial blessing. Greater, better than any signs or miracles or wonders. Forgiveness is greater than they. Amen. If you will take a single step, if you will take just one step toward God, Amen. God will take four steps toward you. Amen. You're not going to outdo God. No matter what you think you can do, no matter what your mind conceives of, no matter how talented you are, no matter how gracious you may be, no matter how kind, no matter how good you think you are, God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, it's talking about you here. If we, someone say we, if we confess our sins, one thing, God asks us to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, here it goes, count them, one thing God is going to do, He, God, is faithful. Someone say faithful. God is faithful. What He's done for others in the Word, what He's done for others in the church, what God has done for anybody at any time, God will do for you. He's faithful. He is faithful, and here's the next thing God is going to do. God is just. He is faithful, number one. He is just, number two. Amen. If it says it in His Word, God keeps His Word. Amen. If He says that He will remit or pay for your sins when you're baptized, He'll do it. Amen. He'll wipe them away. Amen. They'll be gone in the sight of God. Amen. He is faithful and He is just, number one and number two. And forgive our sins, number three. He's a forgiving God. Number four, God, what He does, He's faithful, He's just, to forgive our sins, that's one, two, three. And God, number four, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is able to change our lives. Amen. He will do what we cannot do on our own. He will change us in a way that we could not change ourselves. Amen. Jumping down just a couple of verses, John 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. Praise the Lord. Neither I nor Scriptures are advocating that we just go ahead and go out and sin. That's not the will of God, and that's not our will when we come to God. Amen. It's not our will that, you know, we would continue to mess up and be wicked and be evil. And nobody wants to be that way. Nobody in a God-anointed mind. When God changes your mind, you do not want to do those things. Amen. Scriptures lead us away from sin. It should be the general rule that the child of God tries not to commit sin. You don't do things because it's against the will of God. Amen. But, great big tiny little three-letter word, but we're humans. But we're not perfect. But we mess up sometimes. I am so thankful that God is a loving, forgiving, and merciful God. God is good. Amen. Even if we mess up, repent. Don't continue being stupid. Sorry, I didn't know a nicer way to say it. Don't continue doing bad stuff. Don't continue going the wrong way. If you see that you're going the wrong way, turn around. Sometimes we try to follow that you know, the map on our phone and we'll miss a turn. Well, guess what? As long as I got gas in the tank, we can turn around and go to the... It'll redirect us to get there from a different way. Amen. Repent. And you will find, when you repent, when you turn around, when you turn back toward God, when you get going the right way again, you will know that God is good. Amen. You will find the good God gives you a fresh start. Praise the Lord. And we need that. We need that ability to have a good God give us a fresh start. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever fell down? Everybody ever made a mistake? Something came out of your mouth. Well, I probably shouldn't have said that. Well, then apologize and don't say that no more. Amen. Repent. Some Christians make the devil more merciful than God. Have you ever heard of the devil telling a man or a woman, the devil won't take you back? But yet, some people think that. They think that about God. Well, the people in church know that I messed up. Oh, they know that I went the wrong way. And, they don't want me there. You know what? God is who you should be worried about. And God wants you to be in His house. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't put excuses in your own mind. Don't put somebody else's, what you think they think, which you're probably wrong at what they think. Don't let something else or what something else might be hold you away from coming to the house of God. Amen. Come. Worship. Repent. Amen. And you will then know that God is good. It's going to turn out way better when you turn back to God than it keep going down over the cliff. You know, the fallen part ain't so bad. But there's a bottom. When you hit the bottom, it's bad. Amen. Anybody been at the bottom? Anybody been at the bottom of the cliff? Amen. It's bad when you fall over the cliff and hit the bottom. Even then, if you'll get back up, God will restore you as a child of God. God is good. Amen. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is commonly called the Hall of Faith. And yes, I know I mentioned Hebrews 11 last week, but I'm going to mention it again this week. It's not leaving me. I can't get past it. It's good for what we need. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to have faith in God. We need to know that God is good. And God will give us a fresh start. Amen. Yes, this Hebrews 11, most probably the most prestigious chapter in all of the Bible to have your name listed there. Amen. However, if you look at all those names, if you look at all the people that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11, 17 men and women are listed there. More than half of them failed God in some way. Now, they're in the Hall of Faith in the Bible, and they are recorded in the Bible as failing God. What? You mean God can use somebody who fails Him? When you get back up and let God use you, the answer's always, every time, everywhere, for everyone. Yes! Yes! God is good! Half of these men, nine, one more than half, in fact, nine of these 17 men and women displeased, slipped up, committed grievous sins. So those nine needed a fresh start. Jonah is mentioned there. Jonah 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry unto it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So the prophet, the preacher, gets a word from God, go to Nineveh and preach. Now, Nineveh had a really bad history of killing the preachers and putting their bones up at the front of the city. And, you know, it was really bad. It was not a good place to receive a calling to. And yet, Jonah was called of God. Jonah was commissioned by God to go to Nineveh. He had a calling. And yet, Jonah went the opposite direction, trying to get as far away from Nineveh as he could go. He went the opposite way. Maybe you know the story. He bought a ticket on a boat and he was headed away. And there was a great storm and they found out that he was a preacher running from God. And how can we live through the storm? Throw me over and you'll live. He told the truth. They didn't want to do it. They threw all the stuff out first. They threw out all the, you know, they tried to, they were mariners. They knew how to fight a storm. And they did everything in their human power to save the ship. And yet, it was about to sink. So they did what he said. They threw him over. They were okay. He got swallowed by a great fish, word says. I believe God made that fish for a 3-day journey to keep that prophet alive until it could spit him out, guess where? On the shore at Nineveh. I could not imagine what you looked like after spending 3 days in the belly of a great fish. Can you imagine the stomach acids? The other dead and dying and digesting things that are floating around you? The grayness, because you're starting to be digested, I suppose, after 3 days in that place. It's got to be a really traumatic experience, to say the least. And then when he did finally get spit out 3 days later on the shore at Nineveh, where he was supposed to go in the first place, what do you think he looked like? The judgment of God is upon the city! And he is a mess. And he's adamant, and he's boisterous, and he's telling the people the judgment of God is upon the city. You know what? They actually listened to him. They believed him. The whole city, the government officials, including the king, repented. They put on sackcloth and ashes. They repented before the Lord. This great city. I don't know, 100,000 people probably. I don't know exactly. But a great multitude lived in that great city. And everyone, the Bible says, and I believe the Bible, in that city repented. the next chapter. This is where he went. He arrived there. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Amen. So he went there, he preached, and God saved that city. Amen. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. I tell you, we serve a good God. Amen. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, built that great big ark. It is unimaginable to me to think that my three boys and me, which I have three boys, could build an ark out of a forest. Amen. With a hand saw and an axe. Just an incredible task all in itself. And yet, that's what he did. You know, on the other side of the flood, he got drunk, got naked, didn't do everything right. He needed a second chance. Amen. Abraham, father of the faithful. Amen. We are the blessing of the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. We are counted of the heritage of Abraham because we believe God. Amen. But Abraham was called. He left Ur of the Chaldees. He followed the Lord. He was looking for a city whose maker and builder was God. But he wound up in Egypt, a place and a type of sin. He lied to Pharaoh about his wife. Oh, that's not my wife, that's my sister. He did that to save his own skin. And yet, he got another chance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jacob, the lineage of Abraham, he's referred to as a friend of God. He lied and deceived Isaac, his father, the elder. He lied to his dad. He cheated his brother. And then 21 years later, God met him at a place called Peniel. He wrestled with an angel all night long. And the angel touched the hip of his hip, and it went out of joint. He walked with a limp the rest of his life. But he changed his name to Israel. He got a second chance. Amen. We serve a good God. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a God that wants to give you another chance. How about this one? It should seem pretty obvious. Rahab, the harlot. I think it's enough on that one. But she became a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Amen. She got another chance. Samson, empowered by God, killed 1,000 soldiers with a jawbone of a donkey. He ended up sinning with Delilah. He ended up getting captured and he broke his commitment with God, had his hair cut when he wasn't supposed to cut it. He lost his strength, lost his blessing, lost his anointing, lost his power, lost everything that God had given him. He wound up, because he lost out with God, he wound up being a captive, a slave. He wound up being a prisoner, grinding in a mill like a cow, pushing a wheel at grinding in a mill. Blinded, his eyes gouged out. But God gave him a fresh start. When they placed his hands on the pillars of a temple or of an arena. Amen. And God gave him a great victory. Amen. David, a shepherd boy. Yeah, he fought the lion. He fought the bear. Had victory over Goliath. God gave him great victories, even as a youngster and even as king, gave him great victories. And David sinned in the case of Bathsheba. Took another man's wife. But God gave him another chance. Amen. There's people here today that need another chance. Amen. David was later referred to by God as a man after my own heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus spoke of a time when he would be betrayed, that Jesus would be betrayed. The apostle Peter proclaimed, "Though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter was so adamant. I'm not going to be the one to betray you. Jesus told him that very night, right then, that day, Peter, this night, today, before the rooster crows, before the sun comes up, you will deny me three times. And he was just so adamant, I'll die first. Peter smote his breast, he got angry, declared, "Though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee." People can be really adamant. And they are honest in their heart. At the time they say it, they really believe it. They really believe that I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to fall out with God. I'm not going to leave the Lord. I will be faithful. Maybe we got the best of intentions. We really mean it. But you know what? We are weak. In the flesh. We fall. We fail. When we are caught in our own selves. Just a few verses later, the soldiers have begun the brutalization of the crucifixion. You know, the beating, the thorns, the stripes. Where was Simon Peter? He was following afar off. He wasn't in the front of the crowd. He was in the back of the crowd. He was in disguise. He was trying to hide. And a damsel, a young lady, said to Simon, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." He said, "I know not what thou sayest." What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Shortly thereafter, another maid, another woman saw him. "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." That's two strikes. Finally, several people from out of the crowd that was gathered said, "Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." Talking about Jesus. And it was the very same night that Jesus spoke to him earlier in that very day. And as soon as the third time happened, a weak imitation of a rooster. The rooster crowed. In all of the words. Oh, the heartache, the pain. Jesus was right. He told me it would happen. And it's coming to his mind, the first lady, the second lady, the people in the crowd, and what he said, how he denied the Lord not once, not twice, but three times that very night. Oh! I messed up! I've failed! I didn't keep my word! I didn't do it! He went away broken and sorrowful. He even gave up preaching. John chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm going back to my old job. I'll be a fisherman. I'm going back to my former life. In Mark's gospel, we find a precious gem that reveals to us the goodness and the mercy of God. And it was the Sabbath, or when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome, they all went to the tomb where Jesus was laid, that they could anoint his dead body. The crucifixion had already happened. Jesus was now dead and in the grave. And in Mark chapter 16, verses 5, 6, and 7, in fact, would you come, musicians? I'm closing with this. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Verse 6, and said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. He was there, but he's not there now. Jesus has risen. They get instructions on what to do. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. The promise is coming to pass. Go get ready. Go tell the disciples and Peter. I can almost see in my mind. I have a vivid imagination, if you will. I can see that, you know, the disciples are already heartbroken. They're distraught. They had seen Jesus die, and they seen him carried away, and they rolled the stone over the tomb, and he was in the grave, and Jesus is gone. The despair. We had such great hope. We had such great faith. We knew that this was the Christ. Depressed. Despondent, defeated. Many other bad words were probably all over that room. And then these three women that just came from the gravesite came running in. We've seen him. He's alive. And he gave us a message for you. Go tell the disciples and Peter that I will meet them in Galilee. Jesus is alive. The whole setting changed. Everything was different. They now heard the good news. They've got hope. Peter is in that crowd. He's in that room. He's in the corner, perhaps. Maybe because he's messed up and he was very tormented in his mind, acting perhaps as if he didn't really hear what was going on. He walks to where the women are. Can you give us that message again? Go tell the disciples and Peter that I will meet them in Galilee. It's a straightforward message, just one sentence. Peter asked, Are you sure that you got that message right? Tell me again. what that message was. Go tell the disciples and Peter.
Whoa!
I've heard it. I heard it that time. Peter was given a fresh start. Amen. After really messing up, after really feeling down, after dragging on the ground, God picked him up. Stand with me. I don't know how I can convey, but on Friday night, I felt something very, very powerful. And I felt it here in this service today. I felt that powerful presence of the Lord. And it was something deep within me that would try to express a thank you unto God for just how good God is to me. I know God's good. But when I really try to realize just how good God is to me and how that God gave me a fresh start.
Amen.
God picked my life up when I was wretched and in sin and without God, lost and in the world, unclean, undone, unholy, ungodly. When I was in that state, God picked me up.
So good.
Amen. And now I know. Now I know. I'm not guessing. I don't have to take somebody else's word for it. I don't have to just believe the scriptures. I tell you, I know that God is good. Tristan, you seen me Friday night. I was telling people, God is good. God's been good to me. I mean, I want to tell everybody, God has been really good to me. Anybody else feel that way? You feel a personal connection with a good God? You know that God has been good to you? Well, then, to those people, I'm asking you, in the last few moments of this service, would you lift your hands and lift your voice and magnify God and praise and worship Jesus for just how good God has been to you? And one more thing, one last part here. Perhaps there's someone that you need a fresh start. Maybe you already hit the bottom. You went over the side of the cliff and something bad happened and man, ouch, it hurts when you hit the bottom. Ow, this world is terrible and hard and it's hard at the bottom. If you found yourself at the bottom and you need a fresh start, come and find a good God. He's here tonight. He's here this afternoon. It's early afternoon. He's here right now. I invite you, join us. Would you do that with me? Let's all lift our hands, lift our voice. Come on to this altar. Let's magnify God together. Let's worship the Lord. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Jesus, for He's worthy to be praised. Let's magnify the Lord together. God.